Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program Michael Hain, who is Director of Product Marketing at Descartes. And today we're going to talk about insights from Descartes' 2025 Transportation Management Survey. So, since 2017, Descartes has conducted an annual benchmark survey of global transportation professionals to identify the strategies, tactics, and expectations for the industry. And the nice thing about doing these, studies year after year is that you see how different trends and topics, evolve over time. So to share some of the key findings and takeaways from this year's report, it's great to welcome Mike back to the program to kind of share his key takeaways. So Mike, it's great to see you again.
Yeah, great to see you, Adrian. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great. I mean, I was looking at my calendar here, and I was like, gosh, I think it was almost like a year ago that you were on the program to talk about last year's study. So I think it's great to kind of, continue this and kind of see what changed from last year, perhaps, and maybe what rose to the top, this year. But before we kind of dive into the findings from the study, and we'll include a link for all of you watching, we'll include a link to the report. We're obviously just going to be able to talk just about a few of the findings here in today's episode. But there's a lot more in the report, so we'll include the link so you can read it afterward. But how did this study, I mean, how do you go about doing this study? And, what are you hoping to learn every time you do it?
Yeah, so thanks for that. So like you said, this is the ninth year we've done the study. We actually started partnering with Sapio Research even on last year's study, just so we could get a broader expanse of respondents. So now it's over 600 people that we're getting to respond to the survey. It's not just our customers like it was years ago. We were just kind of emailing out the people we knew. So it's a much broader swath of who we're getting to answer these questions for us. It's a mix of shippers, so manufacturers, distributors, retailers, it's 3PLs, freight forwarders, and brokers. We didn't do the carrier side of things in here, and there's a much more vetting process that goes on now. So these people are really, they're either responsible, full responsibility for transportation, or heavily responsible for transportation, and their managers and above. So partnering with Sapio Research, we don't want to have survey fatigue. I'm sure you guys do a lot of surveys as well, right? So we want to ask them a million questions, but you kind of have to, we cut it down to just 25. So I know we're only going to go through some of that here, but it's a mix 50-50 between Europe and Western Europe. I mean, sorry, yeah, Western Europe and North America, right, that we're doing. So US and Canada. But because we have so many folks answering this, we can even get into some of the details or the cross tabs between, like, this is what shippers think, North American shippers versus European or LSPs in North America versus shippers. So after this survey, we're actually going to have some other ones coming out that get into a little more of that nuance. And I can talk about some of that here, but we will have some more reports coming out about it. So, and yeah, like you said, we're doing it to understand the challenges, the trends, the strategies that these folks are doing, what they're worried about, right? What they're planning for in the future. And we're just trying to get that kind of picture for, companies to understand what their competitors are doing, what their customers are thinking about, right? And it's just, non-biased. This just like, here's the data. And even the report, when you see it, like, we're not trying to read too much into it. Like, you and I, we can get into our thoughts, but I'm kind of, for this one, right, it's just like, here's what the data is saying. And then, yeah, we might have some white papers thinking about, okay, this is what we're doing. But we also get into the trends as well, like over time, like you mentioned.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I mean, I think, obviously we do a lot of surveys as well with our Indago supply chain research community. But I think, a couple of things you said. One is, it's kind of a verified and qualified group, so I think that's always important, right? So I mean, 600 plus respondents is a great, great sample size, but the fact that they're also that you've kind of verified that, these are people who are actually on the front lines and responsible for transportation management is important. And I think then, the ability to slice and dice the data by, geography or company size or other metrics or other filtering types is great because you do, we see that with the research that we do as well. You kind of do see some differences in priorities in North America versus Europe, right? Sometimes because Simple example is sometimes the regulatory environment is very different in Europe than it is here. So there are things that happen there that rise to the top there. They may not be as important here, and vice versa. So maybe as a way to kind of start with the results, I mean, what jumped out at you the most from this year's findings? I mean, was there anything that in particular surprised you?
Yeah, there was a couple things actually I'll get into. So this year we saw 81% of the respondents said that transportation management is seen as a competitive weapon or a customer service differentiator by their management team. So it has been growing, but last year I think it was only 64%. So that's a pretty big jump in a year. And this is the highest we've ever seen that number, right? So transportation management has always been growing in importance, but it really seems to be coming to the forefront, right? Like we saw it with the capacity crunch and then with COVID, right? So we had CEOs and CFOs talking about supply chain, years ago, but it's still continuing to move up. AI and all that stuff, I was expecting that. That wasn't like a surprise. We'll get into some of that. But the other thing that jumped out at me was we asked about automation and that sort of thing. So only 17% of companies said they were fully automated. But the 36% are still heavily manual or fully manual in their processes. So that was a little bit higher of a number than I was expecting, right? And we are talking just about transportation management, right? So warehousing, other stuff, that could be very different numbers there. One of the other things that jumped out at me, though, was given all the headwinds we're seeing in the economy, right? And especially since we're talking about LSPs, right? Volumes have been down, the tariff uncertainty, and that sort of thing is that 72%, I think was the number of companies said they're expecting to grow, right? By at least 5% in the next 2 years. So that was a little bit of a surprise to me. And also that over 80% of the companies said they're increasing their investment in transportation management ITs, the way we called it. So the expectation of growth, they're still investing, right? So that was something that jumped out at me. And then new this year, we put in some categories or answer options around fraud and theft. So we do update some of the questions, right? We took COVID out this year, we just
Right.
that's like in the disruption, kind of circle. But yeah, so we added some things around fraud, and they popped up as a top five like category for TMS and vetting. So those are some of the main things that jumped out at me is like I wasn't necessarily expecting to see in the data.
Yeah, I mean, I think that similarly for me, I mean, I think when you look at the percentage, I think you said it was 81%, that kind of view transportation as kind of more strategic. I always tell people, gosh, when I got started in this industry 26 years ago, if that percentage was like 20%, I think it would have been high. So it's amazing to see, how far, up the value curve transportation management has come. And I think you're right. I mean, things like COVID obviously put it on the map. A lot of the disruptions, e-commerce with the Amazon effect and delivery becoming a competitive weapon. I mean, a lot of different factors contributing to that. But I think the fact that it's been the highest ever in your survey, I think is good, because I think it is, I think companies are finally, I mean, I think cost is still king. Cost is always going to be important when it comes to transportation management and logistics. But the fact that the other side of the coin is that they're also viewing it strategic, I think is I think is important. So that definitely jumped out at me. I think the growth piece, I think every CEO is mandated to find ways to grow their company. So in some ways it's not surprising, but I think like you said, in this kind of environment between tariffs and inflation and just all these other factors, I mean, I think that's a bigger challenge today than it ever has
It
been.
is. And that's one of the areas where we did see a difference between shippers and LSPs. Like I said, it's not called out, but I've been looking into the data. So it was only a few percent of shippers did not expect to grow at all or to shrink, but that there was a large gap. It was like over 10 or 11% of the LSPs were not expecting to grow or were expecting to shrink. So that's not a surprise, but it did work out in the data. So it's always nice when the data kind of backs up kind of what you're thinking.
Right.
Because when I saw that thing, I was like, wow, that's a lot of growth. And then I was like, then I got into the details. Okay, at least the LSPs were a little more conservative than their shipper counterparts, which, makes kind of sense, on its face. So.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that you said was surprising, and again, it's always surprising to me because even this year we did serve a survey where we asked kind of a similar question, and it's both not surprising, but surprising and disappointing at the same time is the amount of people that are still manual, right? So we did a survey earlier this year that as part of the filtering question, we just asked, a question about their TMS, and one of the response options is we don't have a TMS. And I think in that survey that we did, it was like a quarter of the respondents were not using a TMS. And to this day, I keep thinking of, gosh, I've been an industry analyst for 26 years. I've been, an evangelist for, why companies need to have a TMS and the benefits and so forth. And certainly today, it's much more accessible and affordable. And, it's just such a low hurdle today compared to, 20 years ago and to implement a TMS. But I'm still shocked that these are, and in many cases, these are sometimes they're very large companies, and you're thinking, I keep thinking to myself, how do they remain successful? How do they actually make a profit, and grow without, while still doing so much manual work, particularly in transportation?
Yeah, I call it inertia. At my time in consulting, I was always surprised by how, some companies are definitely laggards in some spaces. And yeah, I had those same thoughts of how are you running this business? You can't tell me what you spent last month on transportation. I mean, someone's paying the bills, right? Like these guys are getting paid. So yeah, the information's there somewhere. But you're right, it is a much lower. And then in this survey, it's only a very small percentage say they're not using a TMS. And that's probably some self-selection, right? You're getting a survey about transportation management. So, if you're, so we might be a little skewed to,
Right.
folks that are a little more forward-thinking just because they're responding to the survey, but yeah.
Well, another thing, I guess is not surprising is, visibility, right? Once again, it kind of ranked as a kind of top capability needed for effective transportation management. I mean, what's new or different with visibility today in terms of what, shippers or the respondents of the survey, had to say and are looking for, as well as the capabilities available, what's different today versus, let's say, a few years ago?
So I'm going to break it up into kind of two different things, because when we talk about visibility, like, MacroPoint, Descartes, right, in transit, real time visibility. So from that standpoint, right, we're seeing that the data is getting shared more widely internally and externally. So there's, with APIs, EDI, all this stuff, the data that's coming in is getting sent out. It's getting shared with, warehouse operations, dock, right? So you people are we're even doing this. We're seeing it now at job sites, at retail store locations, right? So you don't have someone that should be customer facing, leaving the cash register to go wait for a truck for 20 minutes, right? They can minimize that time. So the data is getting shared a lot more than it was years ago, and it's being used, to help with equipment turns, right? It's being used to track performance a lot more. It's being used in carrier scorecarding a lot more than it used to be, right? So people are also utilizing this data in their negotiations, right, with the carriers when the carrier contracts come up, and you can look at on-time percentage, and everyone's, singing from the same hymnal of like, hey, you don't just like walk in there and the carrier's got all the information, right? Like, here, let me tell you what my on-time was. It's like, no, the shipper now has, just as good a data, as the 3PL or the carrier had. The other thing that we're seeing, right, is temperature tracking is growing, and not just post load, like getting the download from the device in the trailer, so you can see, oh, there was a spike 6 hours ago, right? So people are now wanting that in real time so they can take corrective action. So there's a, very large grocery retailer putting in a temperature tracking mandate. It's going live this year for all their refrigerated loads and visibility. So we're getting a lot of calls and a lot of people, like, hey, I need to, get compliant with this. And, so you can say, oh, well, how many pings out of tolerance before, I do something or, make, or just tell the load like, hey, don't bother showing up. I'm going to refuse that load, because it's been so out of tolerance for so long. Some of the other stuff that's newer is we're pulling in like customs data. So you can see if the container's at the port, like where it, so it's been sitting at the port, what's going on, right? So it's not just the location, but you can also get status information now. Then the other part of visibility when you talk to people is just visibility into what my operations are doing, right? What am I, so, like I said before, that we have a lot of people that still, that they have a hard time even understanding their costs, right? So getting visibility to your own operations, are you as efficient as you could be, right? So real-time visibility tracking data is important to all that stuff. It feeds a lot of those other systems. But yeah, people are wanting to get the visibility to improve everything overall, and tracking data is like one important piece of it. And then taking that tracking data and then making actionable, like, things you can actually improve either overall, like why is this facility turning equipment so much, slower than my other facility? Like what's going on there? That's something that the data can flesh out, right? That people can take action on. Or like I said, you got a container, is it got sent to the, it's now being offloaded at a different port. What are we gonna do?
Right.
Maybe we can, short ship some of it from this other, place. But anyway, that's what people are doing with the visibility data and just sharing it a lot more and using it across the entire supply chain, not just internally themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. I mean, I think the sharing of that data, because I mean, you're right. I mean, I love the example you gave of, because of course we know that a lot of retail stores now serve as like kind of mini warehouses, right? Mini fulfillment centers, right? Not only are they customer facing and selling stuff there, but they're also doing, direct to consumer shipping. So they're receiving, product and shipping stuff out as well. So being able to, keep that store employee customer facing, because they know, hey, that truck is delayed. I still got another 20 minutes before I have to head back there to kind of receive the shipment. I think is important. So yeah, I love hearing that it's that data and that information is being shared, more broadly, to all the stakeholders that really rely on that data. And I think the visibility, I love the visibility to kind of the metrics, right? Visibility to how are we performing along the cost axis, the service axis, the risk axis, et cetera, because there is so much data available. I mean, that's the thing. We probably have more data available in transportation today than ever before, and it could be information overload. So the key thing is how do we actually extract insights from that data to help improve on our KPIs that are important for us and hit the targets that we might have. And I think the temperature control piece, I've been seeing that for some time as well. But certainly, like you said, we're seeing now that that's become moving away from being kind of a nice to have to being mandated that, hey, we need this kind of visibility to these types of environmental data points, in real time. So let's talk about the topic everyone's talking about, right? Which is AI, right? So I guess. I guess everyone was talking about tariffs this year as well, too. But I guess if we
Yes.
were doing a global trade episode today, we would be heavily talking about, tariffs and all that. But of course, the other topic from a technology side that everybody's talking about is AI, and continues to attract a lot of attention as well as a lot of questions and concerns. I mean, where did the survey respondents see AI driving kind of the most meaningful outcomes today or the opportunities?
Yeah, so we added a couple questions around AI this year. So we asked them just, and again, to be clear, we're asking about generative AI, right? The large language models. So, machine learning, AI, a lot of this stuff has been around. So we focused our question just on the generative AI kind of space. And so what we found from the respondents, 96% of them said they're using AI in at least part of their organization in transportation somewhere, right? So then we got into, okay, well, where are you using it? So the number one was data entry, so they're taking like unstructured data, right? Like emails and automating that voice data and getting that, so taking a phone call, hey, I got this load, $900. Can you haul it? Sure, I can do it tomorrow. Taking that and then turning that into a shipment that gets loaded into a TMS, right? Or something else. So Data entry was a big one. You know, support chatbots has been around. The ones that were interesting that showed up this year were also they're using it for freight forecasting and as well as optimization. So again, we didn't get into all the details of where and how, right? Because of the, like I said, the survey fatigue, but doing a deeper dive on that was interesting to see the for freight forecasting being AI being used for that as well. And load matching and capacity matching. That's something we've been doing at Descartes for a while as well. Again, with like machine learning and other stuff. But yeah, utilizing generative AI for those things, you know, is very, it's kind of novel. And it's something that you see a lot. There's a lot of vendors out there with a lot of these solutions. The main thing I'm back to the data entry those. Where we're seeing a lot of folks using AI is automating manual tasks, right? Getting people off of the phones when you can. So, you know, check call, right? So again, so like if you're tracking the load, but if it stops tracking, someone gets on the phone and says, "Hey, where's the load?" So now you can have a bot do that, right? Or if you know, "Hey, I didn't get the proof of delivery." So it's still exception based because hopefully we're eliminating a lot of these phone calls with the integrations, but it's like, "Hey, I didn't get the proof of delivery." It doesn't have to be a person getting on the phone to say, "Hey, remember to do that." You know, you can have a bot now, you know, say, "I didn't get the proof of delivery. I didn't get the thing, you know, send it to me." So that's where we're seeing it being used a lot. And on our side, we have a bot telling the because we still have a lot of drivers, right, that are not connected through their ELDs, right? It's the long tail. And they will never want to get connected. They download the app, they track, they delete the app, right? They think great Big Brother, which is fine. So we get a lot of, you know, download the app and use it and then uninstall it. But if we know they're hauling a load tomorrow, we know they don't have the app installed, we can call them, say, "Hey, you got this load tomorrow for shipper A, you know, from here. Don't forget to download the app and start tracking," right? So now that's a bot reminding them to do that, right? And if they had the app downloaded, then it doesn't bother them. So things like that.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I was surprised by that high percentage, particularly if you were asking specifically about generative AI, because I think one of the things that, you know, when we've done surveys related to AI, one of the early surveys that we didn't really define what we were talking about, which type of AI we were talking about, right? So as you said, AI has been around for a long time, right? So when we kind of then started kind of asking more follow-up questions, like a very high percentage at first said they were using AI because they were thinking, "Oh yeah, well, I've been using machine learning for a long time, or some of these optimization techniques for a long time." But then when it came to things like generative AI or agentic AI, right, some of these newer things, the adoption rate went really low. Like, yeah, we're still not ready, we're not still experimenting with that. So I think that the high percentage that you cited, I think was a bit surprising, to me. But I think it makes sense, particularly for, the I'd be interested to see how the breakout between LSPs and shippers are, because I would think the LSPs are probably in some ways more early adopters of this because they have so many more transactions, and you see some of the big brokers and some of the big third-party logistics companies out there promoting the fact that they're using, generative AI and agentic AI for operational reasons, right? Because they're kind of becoming much more productive, because they're able to, replace, check calls with, with bots and things like that. So.
Yeah, it's a good point you brought up. And this isn't in the study, but I did some other deeper dive into the data. I actually had to go back to Sapio to get them to do this crosstab for me because it wasn't in the data I had. But because I was also a little bit surprised by that 96%. So then I went in and said, "Okay, well, how many areas, right?" Because they could choose like eight different things, like I said, data entry, freight forecasting, right, route optimization, you know, support bots, a lot of things. So then I got in and said, "Well, how many are using it in two or three areas or five?" So what we found is like three or more categories, it dropped down to about 50% were using it in three or more areas. And then once it then it fell off a cliff. So five or more areas was like 14%. So my take on it too is within transportation, especially if you're like an LSP or even a shipper, it's kind of easy to you can kind of segment or do pilots, right? You can say, okay, well, I'll use it in this part of my business, or like maybe I'll do it just for my inbound, or like I'll do it just for my reefer loads, or I might have a couple really big clients or customers, right? And I'll say, let's try it out here, right? And then so you can kind of pilot things a little more easily in the transportation world. But yeah, it's definitely, I would say it's a lot of people are using it, but its adoption is still pretty shallow, I would say. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, I think, and that leads me to my next question, because I mean, for companies that are, let's say, just beginning their AI journey, I mean, what steps should they take first? I mean, how should they kind of figure out where they should start, or how to evaluate their kind of priorities and the vendors that they should work with?
Yeah. So what I say is, you focus on what the business problem is first, right? Just because there's a new vendor, a new app, right? So what is a business problem? You can like, okay, I want to get people off the telephone, right? Okay, so what are they spending their time on the telephone? So go after, that thing first. So I would also, so low risk, kind of like I wouldn't necessarily, have it tell me how many trucks I need next week to fulfill all my, biggest customers, loads necessarily. But, telling a driver, hey, you didn't upload this document, that, that's a little more, less mission critical. So I would start with, manual, tedious tasks that are more low risk, but you're actually solving still a business problem, right? I would also tell people to talk to your existing vendors, right? Like we said, like a lot of people, if you're utilizing a TMS, you're utilizing a visibility platform, right? All these vendors have AI agents, right? And bots that are helping out. So you don't necessarily have to go with one of the new AI only vendors to do this. So I would talk to your own vendors first. But my other thing is make sure that it can be integrated into your existing systems and workflows. So have it support something your employees are already doing, not like another login to another application. So that would be first and foremost. And if you're on an older tech stack, it might not be as API forward. It might be hard to integrate in, AI if you're on some really old technology. But hopefully people aren't. I would also say, you and I, we've both been doing this a long time. Right, I've talked to so I've been to places where people are like, oh yeah, but we do this and this. It's like, well, the TMS can do that. And it's like, oh, we didn't know. It's like, yeah, that came out 3 years ago. Or, oh yeah, but it doesn't, the integration doesn't, well, okay. So that's the other thing too. People's tech stacks grow and there's a lot of different vendors involved, and so each vendor is making improvements to their stuff, but is the integration still taking advantage of all those? So I would say, not everyone necessarily needs to jump into AI just to like automate a process, right? There's a lot of things your current tech stack may already do that you're just not taking advantage of. So I would do an inventory of what you already have invested in, talk to your own vendors about what they're doing, and start that way. You don't necessarily need, a new application. Right. And developing an AI bot to do stuff is not that hard right now. Right. That's one of the main amazing things about it and why they're becoming ubiquitous. So that's would be like how I would start it out. So.
Yeah, I mean, I love that last point about, first of all, understand what your current tools and capabilities are, right? Because like you said, you may already be able to do what you want to do, right? That business problem that you have, that KPI you want to improve, you may already be able to do it with the tools you already have, because, maybe when you first implemented it, you didn't have that need, or you never turned that functionality on,
Exactly.
or it was new last year, but you never kind of got the memo, if you will, and didn't know it was there. And so really having that conversation with your existing technology partners to understand, right, have that conversation with them. Hey, these are our business problems, these are our pain points, and that will help you as the technology provider be able to educate them in terms of, hey, well, these are the capabilities you already have. If you just turn them on, that you'll be able to resolve that. Or there might be the case, like you said, yes, this might be a neat area where we can, apply some AI, some net new capability that's integrated, to your point, within the application. So you're not talking about having to deploy yet another net new type of solution that might not play well with the rest of your stack. And I think you're right. I mean, I think to me it's always, it's always been the case even with just plain old TMS, right? It's like walk around your operations and wherever you see like stacks of paper or people manually entering stuff or making phone calls. I mean, I think those are some of the low-hanging fruits, or those are some of the opportunities where some of this newer technology can certainly play a role. Well, Mike, I mean, I think we could probably talk for another hour about everything that's in this report. But maybe, and like I said, I will, we'll include the link to the report for people to download it. But maybe as a way to wrap up, when you look at everything that you've learned from the research, I mean, what calls to action come out of the study?
Yeah, so one of the other things that was in the report and has been for a while now is because we also asked the companies like how well they're doing financially, like how they're positioned. In addition to like, how their management views transportation, like we talked about earlier. And so there's other crosstabs we get into. But one of the takeaways is that the companies that are doing, better financially today are the ones that, view transportation as a competitive weapon, but they're also looking for transportation and how it can help grow their business as well. So again, it's like transportation, not just a cost center, right? They're looking at, this was another question in the thing, like how does it contribute to my revenue goals? How does it contribute to my competitive differentiation, right? So those are other things that the leading companies are thinking about. And when they're investing in transportation management, type of technologies, that's what they're thinking about. Their transportation technology to them is not about cost cutting. Like you said, that's always going to be there, but that's not like their main focus. So when we look at that, and the companies that are focused on cost cutting, those are the companies that didn't expect to grow in the next 2 years. They're not investing, in technology. And quite frankly, some of those companies might not be around, So the healthier companies are looking for how can I do more, do better, how can I, excite my customers? And they're doing that, through growth, through like trying to become a leader and use a competitive weapon like transportation technology. To help them do that, right? The other thing we didn't really talk about today, but I want to sign off with is, fraud and theft is always a huge issue out there. So, folks need to continue to invest in that and get their, processes. You need two-factor authentication on your own systems. Make sure all your vendors are doing that as well, right? So, your TMS vendors, your brokers, your freight forwarders. It's a huge problem and it continues to be, and we're doing our best to fight it as well. But again, when you're talking to your AI vendors, what's their cybersecurity? What protocols do they have in place? What are they doing with your data? How are they training AI? So that's something we take very seriously at Descartes for sure. And working with like I don't want to get too into the weeds, but the NIST protocols and things like that. Trying to protect our customers' data and when you're talking about AI, that it's just another area that people have to be cognizant of.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, the whole freight fraud piece. I mean, that's been like you said, a growing problem. We've actually done some episodes and published some posts, even from some of your colleagues there at Descartes related to this topic. And it's amazing how fast growing this problem is. I mean, the criminals are always it's, they seem to be always one step ahead, right, of the industry. But certainly, I think now that the spotlight is on this, more strongly, I think the industry is responding more effectively to it to try to curtail this problem. I think the other key takeaway that you said was, when you, I mean, for me, when you think about the strategic aspect of it, the strategic aspect of transportation management, absolutely. I mean, I'm always, I think there's still not that many companies that view it as, hey, how can we leverage this to grow the top line, right? How do we leverage transportation to increase market share, right? How do we, take a market share away from our competition? I mean, those are the ones that are truly viewing transportation management and viewing transportation management systems to maximize the full value of what these solutions can provide, right? Beyond just the cost cutting, because the cost cutting is, that's table stakes. I mean, that's what, every company is doing. But the ones that really truly, to your point, and I think the research shows this, is the ones that say, hey, how do we go beyond cost, right? Think about it from a strategic standpoint in terms of growing revenue, growing market share, being more, be able to meet more demanding customer expectations with regards to delivery and service and so forth. So again, a lot of great insights from the report. Mike, always a pleasure having you on the program, and I appreciate you taking the time to share some of the highlights and key takeaways.
Yep. Thanks for having me, Adrian. Always great time talking to you.
Great. I want to thank those of you that joined us. If you're watching this episode on demand, either at the Tuckern Logistics website or at the Descartes website, and you've got a question or comment for Mike, feel free to post it there, and I'm sure he'll be more than happy to respond via that medium. Again, thank you for joining us, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Tuckern Logistics. Have a great day.